Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Can you see me?
Yes.
It works now. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Biharji. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Biharji. Paramahansa Paravatakacharya, Ostratana Satishi Shivad, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chatanada Bhaktivedanta, Goswami Maharshila Prabhupada Kijai, ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai, Anantakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Kijai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai, Premsegaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Rabu Nityananda, Sidwaita Ganadha, Sivasati Gaur, Bhakta Vindigajaya. Shri Shri Radhakrishna, Gopagapata Sayam, Kun Radhakunda, Girigo Vradan Kijaya. Vrindavanam Kijaya, Maturadam Kijaya, Navadeepdam Kijaya. Jagadavasami Kijaya, Yuvanavai Kijaya. Srimati Lassi Devi Kijaya, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindigajaya. Gaur Premananda Hari Hari.
All glorious, ye assemble the devotees. All glorious, ye assemble the devotees. All glorious, ye assemble the devotees. All glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Okay, so reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, chapter 10, text 46. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Ya.
Ya.
Etat.
Etat.
Punyam.
Punyam.
Akyanam.
Akyanam.
Vishnor.
Vishnor.
Viryopavrimhitam.
Viryopavrimhitam.
Kirtayach.
Shraddha,
Shraddha, Shutva,
Karma,
Pashair, Vimuchate, Yakitat Punyam Akyanam, Vishnor Viryo Paprimhitam, Kirtayat Shraddha Shutva,
Karma
Pashyair
Vimuchyate,
Yaitat Punyam Akyanam, Vishnor Viryopabrimhitam, Kirtayat Shraddha
Shutva,
Karma Pashyair Vimuchyate, Yahitat Punyam Akyanam, Vishnor Viryopabrimhitam, Kirtayat Shraddha
Shutva,
Karma Pashyair Vimuchyate.
Okay.
Vishnor Viryo Vibhrimitam
Girdaya
Shraddha
Shutva
Karma Pashyaya Vimuchyate. Yaitat Punyam Akyanam
Vishnu Viryo
Prabrimhitam
Kirtatya Chadaya Shutva
Kirtaya Shraddha
Shutva
Karma Pashyair Vimuchyate. Ladies?
Yaitat Punyam Akyanam
Yaitat Punyam Akyanam
Vishnu Viryo Prabrimhitam
Vishnu Viryo Prabrimhitam
Kirtaya Chandaya Shutva
Kirtaya Chandaya Shutva
Karma Pashyair Vimuchyate
Karma
Yaha.
Yaha.
Anyone who?
Anyone who.
Etat.
Etat.
This.
This.
Punyam.
Punyam.
Pious.
Pious.
Ajnanam.
Ajnanam.
Narration.
Narration.
Vishnoho.
Vishnoho.
Of Lord Vishnu.
Of Lord Vishnu.
Virya.
Virya.
The Supreme Power.
The Supreme Power.
Upabrahmitam.
Upabrahmitam.
In which is described.
In which is described.
Kirtayat.
Kirtayat.
Chants or repeats.
Chants or repeats.
Shadaya. With faith.
With faith.
Shutva.
Shutva.
After properly hearing from the right source. Karma Pashahai, from the bondage of fruitive activities. Vimuchyate,
becomes liberated.
Translation: one who hears and chants this narration about the omnipotence. What does omnipotence mean? You don't know? It means all powerful, that God is all powerful. Of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, is certainly liberated from material bondage without fail. So there's no purport to this text, and nor the next text. And then we'll read the last text. So anyway, we'll just continue reading until we get to the text with the purport. I'll read the Sanskrit and the translations.
Etadyadari purushasya mrgendra lilam daichendra yuttapada Vadam prayata patata daityatma jasha chasatam pravarasya punyam shudvanu bhavam makuto vayameti lokam.
Prahlad Maharaj was the best among exalted devotees. Anyone who with great attention hears this narration concerning the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, the killing of Aranyakashipu, and the activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Nrisimhadeva, surely reaches the spiritual world where there's no anxiety. And so text 48, which does have a purport.
Yuyam riloke bhattaburi bhaga lokam punana muneyo viyanti yesham grinam avasattiti sakshad Gudam param brahma manusha lingam.
Narada Muni continued, "My dear Maharaj Yudhisthira, all of you, the Pandavas, are extremely fortunate, for the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna lives in your place just like a human being. Great saintly persons know this very well, and therefore they constantly visit this house." So purport, by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. After hearing about the activities of Prahlad Maharaj, a pure devotee should be very anxious to follow in his footsteps. But such a devotee might be disappointed, thinking that not every devotee can come to the standard of Prahlad Maharaj. This is the nature of a pure devotee. He always thinks himself to be the lowest, to be incompetent and unqualified. Thus, after hearing the narration of Prahlad Maharaj's activities, Maharaj Yudhisthira, who was on the same standard of devotional service as Prahlad, might have been thinking of his own humble position. Narada Muni, however, could understand Maharaj Yudhisthira's mind, and therefore he immediately encouraged him by saying that the Pandavas were not less fortunate. They were as good as Prahlad Maharaj, because although Lord Nrisimhadeva appeared for Prahlad, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in his original form as Krishna, was living with the Pandavas. Although the Pandavas, because of the influence of Krishna's yoga maya, could not think of their fortunate position, every saintly person, including the great sage Narada, could understand it, and therefore they constantly visited Maharaj Yudhisthira. Any pure devotee who is constantly conscious of Krishna is naturally very fortunate. The word riloke, meaning within the material world, indicates that before the Pandavas, there have been many, many devotees, such as the descendants of the Yadu dynasty, and Vashishta, Marichi, Kashyapa, Lord Brahman, Lord Shiva, all who were extremely fortunate. The Pandavas, however, were better than all of them, because Krishna himself lived with them constantly. Narada Muni therefore specifically mentioned that within this material world, Nriloke, the Pandavas, were the most fortunate. So Om Gana Timuranda Shakananjana Shabakaya Chakshur and Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So this is actually very interesting, this particular verse and purport, because it is reflected in Sanatan Goswami's literature, the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. In the first part of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, you have Narada Muni looking for the best devotee of the Lord. Did you ever hear this story before?
Yes.
So, I mean, he goes through different devotees, but we're not going to talk about all the different stages. But let's say he arrives first at Lord Shiva. Not first, but, you know, after some time at Lord Shiva, and he begins to glorify Lord Shiva, saying, "You're the best devotee of the Lord," and Lord Shiva objects to that. And he says, "How can I be the best devotee? Because I give benedictions to demons like..." Who's a demon who got a benediction from Lord Shiva?
Tarakasura.
Who?
Tarakasura.
Tarakasura? They just make up names. But anyway, yeah, Tarakasura. So, just like Vrikasura, what did Vrikasura want to do?
Did Ichi got benediction?
No. Vrikasura wanted to what? I'm touching my head right now. What did he want to do?
He wanted to shatter someone's head.
And who did he try that out on? First, who did he try that?
Lord Shiva.
And Lord Vishnu had to save him by having Vrikasura touch his own head. So there's so many demons like Ravana and others. And so Lord Shiva said, "I'm not a very good devotee." Actually, it was described that there's a devotee who sits always at the Lord's lotus feet massaging his feet. Who is that?
Lakshmi.
So Lord Shiva was saying that, and actually Parvati was the one who was encouraging it, because she's Lakshmi's friend. But then Lord Shiva said to Narada Muni, "Let's talk in secret, because I don't want to talk in front of Lakshmi. Because if I talk in front of Lakshmi, I'm going to describe a better devotee than Lakshmi. And that's Prahlad Maharaj." Because he was afraid of his wife. So even Lord Shiva is afraid of his wife. That's interesting, isn't it? He didn't want to disagree with his wife because it could be trouble. So then he told Narada Muni that Prahlad Maharaj was the best devotee of the Lord. So Narada Muni immediately flew to see Prahlad Maharaj. And he said to him, "You are the best devotee." Of course, when devotees hear that they're the best devotee, generally they say what? "Yes, I'm the best." They say, "No, I do so many things wrong. I give benedictions to demons." So Prahlad Maharaj said, "I'm not such a good devotee because I only got to see the Lord once. I just remember him. I don't do anything practical for him. I just..." Oops. So many text messages. Is she able to see, or?
Children, they really know.
Oh, the children.
And they can see. Yeah.
Oh, they can see, okay. So he said, "I don't do anything practical. I just saw the Lord once. And that was it." Whereas the Pandavas get a chance to see the Lord all the time. Plus, Prahlad Maharaj even described that at one time I fought with Krishna. Did you know that? What happened is that Krishna took a disguise form, wearing a pitavasa, I mean a yellow cloth, and Prahlad Maharaj challenged him, thinking he was just another kshatriya, and he had a fight, and Prahlad Maharaj won the fight. And Krishna said to him, when he revealed that he was actually Krishna, he said, "I'm always defeated by you." In other words, a devotee is able to defeat the Lord how?
By devotion.
And
love.
Yeah, if you love someone, you can control them. You understand? It's like you can control your mother. Well, like we were talking about the other day, that when I want to control my mother, I just call her mommy. Even though I'm 65 years old, it works all the time. I said, "Mommy, can I have this?" And she goes, "Oh." "Whatever you want. Mommy, please chant Hare Krishna." "Okay, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare." But if I preach to her, it doesn't work. But if I just say the word mommy, because love, I can control her, right?
So you should try that with your mother. With the father, it doesn't work. Sometimes if you say daddy,
daddy.
It'll work. Instead of pita, you say daddy. So a more intimate term. So anyway, so Prahlad Maharaj, he was saying, because I fought with the Lord, etc., I'm not such a good devotee. If you really want to see devotees who are always with Krishna and get a chance to associate a lot with Krishna, go to see the Pandavas. So Narada Muni got really ecstatic, started jumping up and down, and he went to see the Pandavas. And so he was glorifying the Pandavas. Oh, you're always with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna has become the friend of Arjuna. Like we find in the Bhagavad Gita, the description that Krishna and Arjuna would lie down in the same bed as buddies. You know, can you imagine like going up to God and slapping him on the back and say, hey, high five, you know, or something like that. That would be pretty good, isn't it? Did you ever do a high five with the deities? It would be offensive if you did that. But anyway, so imagine doing that. So Arjuna is in that position that actually he's really friends with. I mean, one time Arjuna was walking along the Jamuna River and he saw this beautiful girl, Kalindi, who is Jamuna personified. And she said, really, I want to marry Krishna. And Arjuna said, I'll arrange it. So he arranged the marriage between the Jamuna personified and the Supreme Personality. Hari Bol. Good morning. Jamuna personified and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And sometimes Arjuna even didn't listen to Krishna because he considered Krishna to be his friend. Of course, in the Bhagavad Gita, that's what happens in the beginning. And then after some time, Arjuna realizes he's God, and he says, please forgive me. You know, sometimes I was lying on the same bed with you, calling you, O Govinda, O Krishna. And so Arjuna realizes, and he accepts Krishna as the guru in the Bhagavad Gita. But normally, Krishna is not Arjuna's guru. Normally, Krishna is his buddy. It was nice. So anyway, so the Pandavas, they were being glorified by Narada Muni in the story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And the Pandavas said, we're not such good devotees. Why? Because Krishna only comes when there's a problem. He's not here all the time. He only comes when there's a problem. And like he was there when Draupadi was the attempted disrobing of Draupadi. He was there in the battle of Kurukshetra. But if things go well, or the story when Durvasa Muni came with his 10,000 disciples to take prasadam, and the Pandavas were in the forest, and they had this pot. You know the story?
Yeah.
They had this pot that would provide unlimited prasadam as long as Draupadi had not eaten. So what happened is Duryodhana sent Durvasa Muni there with all his 10,000 disciples right after Draupadi had eaten. And so Durvasa Muni came, he was hungry, and the thing about Durvasa Muni, the name means the Muni or the sage with a bad mood. That's a nice name, isn't it? The bad, you know, sometimes it can mean bad face or bad clothes, but it also means bad mood. So he's always on edge. You know what that means, on edge? That means anything could trigger his anger at a second. If you say the wrong thing, you look at him the wrong way, he gets angry and he curses you. So, even when he came to the kingdom, when Kunti Devi was a very small girl, her father, Kunti Bhoja, didn't want to take care of him. He sent Kunti Devi there to take care of him. And Kunti Devi took care of him very well, and as a result, she got a mantra to do what? Call the demigods. And that was used later on to give birth to the five Pandavas. So that's... So anyway, Durvas, so he came to the Pandavas, and he wanted food. He and his 10,000 disciples were extremely hungry, right? And Draupadi and the Pandavas didn't know what to do. And they said, well, go take your bath first. We'll cook in the meantime. So they went to take their bath. And at the same time, Draupadi started crying. Draupadi is also called what? Krishna. Did you know that? That's another name for Draupadi. Not Krishna. Krishna. Because she has a similar complexion to Krishna, and she's Krishna's friend. It's interesting. She's actually Krishna's friend, not in a conjugal way, but actually just like a friend. And she sometimes, Krishna sometimes calls her Sakhi. Sakhi, you know what that means?
Yeah.
What does Sakha mean? Friend. What does Sakhi mean? A friend, and a female who's a friend. So, anyway, so she started crying. What am I going to do? Govinda, Govinda. And whenever there was trouble, what did she do? She cried for Krishna, right?
Yeah.
Whenever there was problems, she was tempted to be disrobed, she cried, Krishna, and threw up her hands. So in this case, she cried, Krishna, and what happened? There was a knock on the door. Who's there? It's Krishna. And Krishna said, I'm hungry too. And she thought, oh my God, I can't feed Durvasa Muni, and now God has come, Krishna has come, and I can't feed him. This is double offense. And Krishna said, don't worry, let me see the pot. And so Krishna reached into the pot and he saw a little scrap. He was able to scrape with his nail of prasadam, and it was left one little grain of rice or something like that, and he ate it. Mmm, he said, delicious. I'm full. Pretty good. And so when Krishna is full or pleased, everyone is pleased, right? So in the meantime, Durvasa Muni and all of his disciples, 10,000 disciples, were bathing in the river. And what happened is they became full. Their stomachs just went, and they thought, uh-oh. This is going to be an offense if we go to the Pandavas and they offer us something to eat and we can't eat. Oh my God. So they got worried and they all ran away. So in other words, Krishna would appear whenever there was trouble with for the Pandavas. Krishna was always there. But the Pandavas said, or Yudhisthira Maharaj said when Narada Muni was glorifying him, that Krishna only appears when we have trouble. Otherwise, we don't see him. So right now, he said, we're thinking of making up some trouble. So Krishna will come. You know, some imitate, or doing a fire sacrifice or something so that Krishna will come. And so we're discussing this at the present moment. And so, you know, they were lamenting, they were actually lamenting their fate that they only saw Krishna in such a situation like that. It's interesting. So, anyway, so they recommended other devotees who were actually much more exalted than them. So what does it mean, exalted? Of course, exalted means close or high. So we see that the more intimate the devotee is, the more exalted he is, and the more they get to associate with Krishna, the higher they are. So then we go to the residence of Vrindavan. Of course, the Pandavas recommended that first they would go to Dwarka before Vrindavan. So Narada Muni went to Dwarka and he came in contact with the Yadu dynasty and specifically Uddhava. And he was glorifying Uddhava as the best devotee. Uddhava actually said, yes, I am a good devotee. It was interesting in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. What you're saying about me is true, Uddhava said, but actually the best devotees of the Lord are the gopis in Vrindavan. And the interesting thing about the gopis in Vrindavan is that of course, they see Krishna a lot when he's there, but for most of the time, Krishna was gone, right? So Krishna left Vrindavan when he was 16 years old. And so they only got a chance to be with Krishna for about 16 years after he was born, of course. And then, so how can they be considered the best devotee of the Lord? Because they're always associating with Krishna in the mood of vipralamba seva, which means separation. Because when you think of Krishna intensely, Krishna's there. When you chant his name, like the gopis, they're always chanting Hare Krishna. When you chant his name, when you feel separation from him, he's always there. So that, and the gopis have the most intense mood of love for Krishna, and the most intimate mood of love for Krishna. As you go through the various devotees, the love gets more and more intimate. Like if one is in Shantaras, that means just serving Krishna, that love is not so intimate. It's like a master and a servant. And then if you go to, what's the next one? Tell me. What's after Shantaras? There's Dasha. What does Dasha mean? Servant. Then that's also a little more intimate when you get to serve the Lord. Because in Shantaras, you're just worshiping God like they do in Christianity. Oh my Lord, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our what?
Daily bread.
Daily bread. So in other words, you're practically making God your servant. Instead of going to the bakery, you're going to God. You're turning him into a baker. You know what a baker is? Someone who bakes bread. So that's not so intimate. And then servant is a little more intimate, where you get a chance to be God's servant. You think, I should cook for God, I should do the deity worship, I should do all these things for God. And then more intimate than that, than servant in relationship, is what? Friendship. Sakyaras. That means friendship, like Arjuna, like Krishna's friends in Vrindavan, like Subal, Sridham, and all those. And more intimate than that is what?
Brother.
Who?
Brother.
Brother? Brother? No. More intimate than that is parental. Parental means you get to be Krishna's parents. And you get to be so intimate that you could even chastise Krishna and run after Krishna with a stick. Someone just wrote me a letter. They said that, was Krishna actually beaten all the time with a stick? You know, they asked me that question. And the answer is, Krishna was never hit by a stick. Never hit by Mother Yashoda with a stick. Just she's threatened. Like Prabhupada said, when the teacher disciplines the children, the teacher should never hit the children, but threaten with a stick. Like Prabhupada had a teacher who said that if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to cut your head off and put it in front of the class so you can see it. Which doesn't make sense, because if you cut your head off, you're not going to be able to see your head. So, it scared everybody in class. So, or like Narada Muni had a disciple who was a snake. Did you hear the story? And once he became initiated, he chanted Hare Krishna or something like that, then everybody knew he was a peaceful snake. And so the people used to make fun of him, threaten him and everything like that. And he went to his guru and said, Narada Muni, now that I can't bite anymore, what should I do? And Narada Muni said, you should just raise your hood like a cobra and threaten to bite. And then they'll be scared. So that, anyway. So Mother Yashoda, she's threatening Krishna because she's worried about Krishna. She's not threatening Krishna because she wants to cause him pain, because she's concerned about it, his activities. And what did she do? She tied him to a grinding mortar, right? What would happen here in Australia if you tied your kid to something?
Oh, you are gone.
You got the social services would come, right?
You lose your job and everything.
Yeah. Can you imagine? You tie your kid to your stove or something like
that. No one knows.
Oh, you do that. Now we know. So anyway, now everybody knows. I mean, in America, there was someone who tied their kids to the toilet. So anyway, but she was never cruel to Krishna. But that's so intimate that she can chastise God. Can you imagine being able to chastise God? The Pandavas, they were buddies with God, but they never chastised Krishna. Whereas Mother Yashoda, she was able to chastise God, and Krishna was what?
Crying.
Because he was afraid of his mother. Can you imagine that? God being afraid of his mother. And then more intimate than that is the gopis, who can not only chastise Krishna, sometimes they even hit Krishna. There's stories that one time, and you heard the story when I took you around Govardhan, that one time Krishna was trying to collect taxes from the gopis. They were going to Govindakund. And they refused to pay their taxes. And what happened is they said, we'll come back tomorrow to pay our taxes. And guess what happened? You remember the story? What happened? Well, what happened is that they, well, not, that wasn't the story about dressing Krishna as a gopi. That's another story. But they came back with 1,000, 10,000 gopis, overpowered Krishna and the cowherd boys, and tied them to trees. And threatened them with sticks. And Krishna was forced to bow down to Radharani's feet. And there's another place in Braj called the Manasarovara. And that's the place where Radharani gets very angry with Krishna. She refuses to see Krishna, and Krishna has to cry and bow down to her feet. There's a picture of that. Did you ever go to the Manasarovara? Some of you, you probably did, Kanchanbhai. But Krishna has to... I don't think you went there when... this time. Manasarovara, no. No, you went to the Manasaganga, which is something different. That's in Govardhan. But the Manasarovara is all the way in western Braj. And Radharani was standing like this. I'm not going to talk to you anymore. And Krishna was just like going down, touching her feet, and saying, please forgive me, please forgive me. I didn't know what I was doing. Of course, Krishna's begging for forgiveness is not very honest. Because he knew what he was doing, and he did it deliberately to make Radharani angry, and he enjoys getting her angry. That's nice, isn't it? That's a very close relationship where someone enjoys getting someone else angry. Do you enjoy getting your brother angry? Opposite. That means you have a very close relationship. Like that. Like Krishna, one time he tried to get Rukmini angry. He couldn't do it. What did he tell? Do you know the story?
Yes.
He told Rukmini that you picked the wrong husband. You better get a divorce. You can still marry a nice person like Shishupal. Of course, Shishupal was dead, but obviously she couldn't marry him. And she was old enough to be a grandmother. But the nice thing about Krishna and his associates, they never age. Rukmini always looked like a 16 or 18 year old girl. It's pretty nice, even though she was like 120 years old. And Krishna always looked like a 16 year old boy. Even in the battle of Kurukshetra, you know, it was a long time, it was like 120 years after he appeared. And Krishna looked like a young boy, 16 years old, you know, fully mature, but 16 years old. So Krishna tried to make Rukmini angry, and he told her, get a divorce, marry a good husband, nobody knows my family. And what did she do? She fainted, because she couldn't get angry at Krishna. Whereas there is a wife with a more intimate relationship with Krishna, that's Satyabhama. And Satyabhama is always getting angry at Krishna. Satyabhama means the left-handed wife. Left-handed in terms, because there's left-handed and right-handed gopis and wives. The right-handed ones are submissive, the left-handed ones are unsubmissive. So Satyabhama, when she saw that Rukmini had gotten a parijata flower, what did she say?
She wanted a whole tree.
I want a whole tree. So she nagged Krishna. Can you imagine nagging God? You know what nagging is? Kesha, you know what nagging is? Nagging is, you gotta get it from me. You see that sometimes when someone's friend gets a sari and the lady says to her husband that she has so many saris, she just got a new sari from India. What do you ever get from me? I'm sure that doesn't go on in your family, but you see that sometimes, isn't it? What did you ever get from me? You know, she has new shoes, she has new saris, and new jewelry, and me you don't do anything for. You don't love me anymore. All your love was just like word jugglery. You ever hear stuff like that? No. So anyway, so Satyabhama was doing that. So Satyabhama had a more intimate relationship. So the more intimate the relationship, the more exalted the devotees. Of course, the Pandavas are extremely exalted. Prahlad Maharaj is extremely exalted. Lord Shiva is extremely... All these devotees are very, very exalted. But from a spiritual viewpoint, the gopis are the most exalted devotees of the Lord because their relationship is most intimate. So, any questions or comments about any of these things? Yes?
This is like a sort of like a school question.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes my principal says you should have pride when you wear your uniform.
Yeah.
And the Dharma Prabhuji says you shouldn't have pride, so I don't know what to do.
Okay. We're proud, what he's saying is that not that you're proud of yourself, but you're proud of the organization you represent. So just like your uniform is representative of your school, right? What's your school called?
St. Philip's.
Who?
St. Felix.
St. Phillips?
Felix.
Felix. Oh, St. Felix. So you're proud of St., and it's your uniform has a little insignia or a little mark of St. Felix? Okay. So you're proud of your school, you're proud of your uniform. So we can also be proud of Prabhupada's movement. We're not proud ourselves, but we can be proud that we're representing the best spiritual movement on the planet. Is that all right? So you could think you're representing the best school on the planet. Maybe. Not really. I mean, because generally they try to instill pride not only in the school but also in the country. Do you have a flag here in Australia?
Yeah.
What do you do when the flag is up? Do you salute it?
You sing.
You sing what? The national anthem. Like in Fiji they have this, "Oh Fiji, I love you Fiji, my Fiji." I heard it one time, I went to a graduation and people were singing it. And in America, we have this national anthem. It's really much more complex. For purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. I mean, it glorifies the whole country. America, America, God shed thy grace on thee. And I forget the rest of it.
You know.
So one is supposed to have pride in what they represent. You should be proud of your family, but not proud of yourself. Proud of your sister. Are you proud of your sister? This is normal. We should be proud of things that we represent, but not proud of our own particular Krishna consciousness. Okay. And sometimes I get proud of my disciples. Sometimes I get embarrassed by them. Like Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked how many disciples he has. Do you know what he said? No. He said, 4! 2 arms, 2 legs. He was saying the other ones don't listen to him so well. It was a very funny thing he said. So, you know, we can be proud of our movement, temple, devotees. This is fine, but not of ourselves. Proud of Krishna. We can brag about the deities, how beautiful the deities are. But you shouldn't brag how beautiful you are. Okay, and another question?
Yes,
is that, you have that question? The question?
Yeah, Radha was just asking, how is Krishna?
How old is he? He's unlimitedly old. He's the oldest. Adi Purusha. He's the original person. He's timeless. I mean, there's no actual understanding of how old Krishna is because it's infinity. Like, how big a number is infinity? That's one sense about Krishna. Another sense is that Krishna is always 16 years old.
Yeah.
He never grows old. Just like that fairy tale, whatever it is, we learned when we were young. Peter Pan, you ever heard of it?
Oh, yeah, Peter Pan.
And it's interesting that Peter Pan, obviously came from Krishna one way or the other, because he what was his instrument that he played?
He played a flute.
He played a flute, and all the children left with him and became Hare Krishna devotees, and they left their parents. Isn't that the story?
Yes. What?
The
lost boys. Yeah. And, they live
in the Neverland. Yeah, spiritual world is Never Never Land. Why do we say that? Because you never die, never get old, never get sick, never have any problems. That's the real Never Never Land. And Krishna is the original Peter Pan. Because he plays his flute. And then everybody follows him. All the boys, girls, and even old people follow him, and they never come back.
And no adults are allowed to Neverland. Yeah, because adults turn out like Captain Cook.
Well, that's not exactly true. But anyway. So any other questions? Or comments, or problems, or issues, or arguments, or discussions, or personal viewpoints, or threats. No? Anyone else? Any questions? Anyway, so here we're discussing who are the most exalted devotees of the Lord, and this is the subject matter of this particular verse and purport. It says, Krishna is always like your body and soul. He is worshipful. He acts as your servant and sometimes as your spiritual master. Very, very nice verse. Okay. Any other questions? Comments? Yes.
Why was the Pandavas so fortunate to have Krishna with them?
Why? Because they're pure devotees and they love Krishna. If you love Krishna, then Krishna is with you. But if you don't love Krishna, naham prakasya sarvasya yogamaya samavrita. For those who are envious, Krishna says in the Gita, I cover them with my illusion, the mahamaya, so they can't see him. Just like if someone hates you, do you want to go in front of them? No. So if someone doesn't love Krishna, they want to be Krishna. So Krishna doesn't want to go in front of them and say, here I am. He only wants to be with people who love him. Don't you feel the same way? Do you want to be with people who hate you? No. You want to be with people who love you, who will do whatever you say. And Krishna's devotees do whatever Krishna wants. Can you imagine if you had servants who did anything you wanted? Wouldn't you want to be with them all day long? So Krishna's the same way. He wants to be with his devotees all day long. Okay. I think that's it. So we have some discussions before we go bike riding. Okay, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.